Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
We have Ahuva Grun,
who has agfinancialcpa.com, and she is going to talk to us about how she helps companies. So welcome, Ahuva. You're a fractional CFO, right?
Correct.
Can you explain what that means?
In the accounting industry, there's three different parts. There's bookkeeping, which is data entry, putting in bills, expenses, just the basic. Then there's the compliance accounting work, which everyone thinks is CPA. A lot of people think, oh, that's tax accountant, your tax return, and all the wonderful compliance stuff to the government, IRS and state government. But then there's a whole nother world of fractional CFO, controller CFO, which is controller, is like controlling the money. And CFO, it's not just controlling the money, but really strategically helping the business do well and grow. And a fractional CFO is a part-time CFO as a consultant to help a business that doesn't need yet to hire a full-time CFO with a $200,000-$300,000 salary and benefits. So it's like you're getting the expertise of a CFO, which, yes, I am a CPA, which experienced over 20 years in effective way, just what you need on a retainer basis.
So what kind of things do you actually do then as a CFO?
Number one is I clean the books and I make sure the books are clear. Like clients tell me all the time, I open their eyes. Number one, you have to know what's going on. If you don't have clean books, if you don't have books, talking about AI, if you have half your business on one platform, on one software, half on another software, and they're not talking to each other. For example, Richard, you're a lawyer. If half your business is on Clio and half on QuickBooks, you don't really have a clear picture of what's going on. And then is looking at the four P's, people, processes, profit, and products, what's it's going right. You're leaving money on the table. Different industries, let's say a construction industry, is which services that you're doing, what products are you selling that you could, if you sell more, you'd make more money. But then I had a client that had a service that he did. He didn't make so much money. So we had a conversation. Why are you still offering this service? He said it's a lead. We spoke about it. It's a lead magnet because it's the first service they offer. But once they do that, then when they want to knock down a building or build a new house, they will need much more services that are more money. Another area is the people. Are your employees in service industry, labor is a big part. Are they being efficient or they're not? Are they taking too long? I had a client that when they put on cameras on the vehicles, all of a sudden, jobs took faster all of a sudden. And then they see an employee stopping over and buying alcohol on the way home. Don't do it with a company vehicle.
Right.
It doesn't look very good to see it on a company vehicle where you have the name of the business sitting on in a bar. It's like all these small things, it's like makes a big difference. If you have software, talking about AI, is your employees using it? Are you using correctly to really help the business grow and succeed? Are you following like the processes? A lot of clients, a lot of business owners I speak to, they have great software. Every industry has their own. But if you don't use it, why? I'm very into problem solving. Why? Is it, do they need training? Do they need accountability or you don't need it?
Sahara, I think you make a lot of good points. And I really like the way that you demonstrate sort of your problem solving abilities in a very practical way. I think there are a lot of people in the financial world who are just so focused on the numbers, and you seem to have the talent to take it beyond that and relate what's going on in the numbers to what's actually, you know, happening in the business.
That's really where my passion is, really what I believe in. Once we have clean reports, that's great. But I'm like, I used to want when I was in the corporate world and I spoke to family and friends in business and they weren't doing well. I wanted to like shake them up. If you would just do A, B, and C, you would do so much better. So when I left my corporate position in COVID and I thought of what I want to do, I wanted to follow my passion and to help businesses. So it's one step is to give them reports. This is where you made revenue. This is your net profit, your gross profit. But I really wanted to really help them and really change those numbers. What's driving those numbers? How are we going to change it? We were leaving our money.
So Erica.
So like, what size companies do you usually work with? Is it small startups or some other
folks? Usually they have revenue from like $1 million, $2 million to like $25 million. By $25 million, depending on the industry, they usually need a full-time CFO. But if your business is small and they don't have good processes and they don't have good systems and good products, they maybe can make it. But once you get over $1 million, $2 million, if you don't have good the four P's, if you're not had the strategic help, it could really go under. I have a law firm client. He said he made more when I came in, he made more money when it was him and one other attorney than now when he has a whole team. How sad is that?
Well, that's not an uncommon story.
Yeah, that happens because your overhead costs get so high if you had a bunch of administration.
And it's much harder to kind of pay attention to everything that's going on.
Overhead is one thing. And when I came in, his wife recommended, I met his wife and she said, my husband needs you. It wasn't the overhead. It's them, you know, in law firms and different, every industry is a little different, but there's common things. If your lawyers are not tracking their hours and you're charging per hour, then you're not going to make money. So you're paying your employees, paying the attorneys, they're winning cases, they're giving service. But if they're not tracking their hours, if you're not billing right, if you give a contingency plan and you're not billing right, you're not going to do well. It's not just the overhead. There's like different aspects.
You know, in the past, we had some of those challenges. And then we installed an ERP system that allowed us to really track what was going on. And then based on the data that we got from that, we are able to make certain kinds of fixes. So in some cases, our margins on certain types of projects were very low. But we didn't see it before. Then once you see it, then you can take a step and try to fix it.
Yeah. So my question for you, though, based on your experience stepping out of corporate and starting a new business, and we are kind of starting about reinventing yourselves and starting something brand new, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs just starting out? Would you tell them to use QuickBooks? What if they have to take money? Like, what are the best systems to use and what are the things they really have to do so things don't get screwed up?
What they have to do is number right away to set up QuickBooks, QuickBooks Online, QuickBooks Desktop. There's different pros and cons to keep down that. Don't invest a lot of money in fancy software, fancy phone system, fancy website. When I started off, I thought I invested in a phone system. You press one for this, press two for this. It was a waste of money. Because in my business, I end up using a very individualized attention. And it was much better to give my cell phone than I didn't need the phone system. Don't go spending on a fancy website on $1 million of ad. Get the money in the door. And hire a mentor, like Erica said. Hire a mentor, hire expertise. Whatever you're not good at, then delegate, get mentored, get trained. Read books, business books. Either read books on Audible from Amazon. I love that. There's also a Blink that you could listen to summaries. Get educated, get a mentor, learn how a lot of businesses are great at what they do. Oh, I know how to fix cars. I know how to do plumbing, electric. That's great, but you also have to know what you're doing financially. You have to know what you're doing. Sales. Sales is not my forte. I got training. Even though when I was 5 years old, my mother had a beauty salon, coming home from school and running down and watching my mother work. And that was one of my first opening my eyes to business. I convinced my kindergarten teacher to come to my mother's beauty salon. Not that my mother set me up, because I believed that would be the best place for her. But now, sales is not my strong point. I got mentors. I got educated. Now, once the business grows, I delegate. I hire expertise. Do what you're best and delegate the rest. Who Not How is a great book. Great at Work. Another great book says, Do Less and Obsess.
Yeah, I love that. And to add on a little, if I can, to what you're saying, when you say educate yourself, I mean, one thing that we started doing when we decided to do the podcast studio was going to conferences, listening to YouTube videos, going to presentations, learning as much as we could about where the industry was and where it was going, and following YouTube, which is taking over. And I think you have to really, if you're going to do something new, you have to immerse yourself in the industry, and learning is a huge part of it.
Then not only in your industry, I didn't just read business books about financial, but I also read business books about marketing, about sales, about leadership. And even when I was a CFO for a large company, I always kept my mind open. I always was looking to learn. But you can't just learn on your industry. Running a business is not just what services and what products you do. You have to really be able to take the whole picture in and really work on it.
When I started Gearheart Law, and I mean, it was really Elizabeth's idea that I start the law firm, I was transitioning out of corporate. And I had been a manager there. I had like 40 attorneys reporting to me at a big company. And so I knew something about management, or I thought I did. But getting into the entrepreneurial world, it was much different. I didn't have an accounting department. I didn't have an HR department. I had to learn how to interface directly with all of these other vendors and providers that somebody else was doing before. And there is really an education with that. I went to the Action School of Business, and they taught me about all the different basics, you know, sales, marketing, accounting. I already knew how to be a lawyer. That was not so difficult for me, but I felt like that was a good investment of my time. And so if you are an entrepreneur starting out, I certainly recommend that.
And I have an interesting story to tell you. I went to a networking event, a big construction networking event, and I went from booth to booth of all different types of subcontractors, plumbers, roofers, electricians, surveyors, all over, real estate developers and different services. And I went, do you ever feel like you're playing catch up with cash? And a lot of them said, of course, yes, they feel like they're playing catch up with cash. And the ones that said no, that thank God they're doing well financially and they're doing well with cash flow, is I asked next, do you have someone in the financial seat of your business? And they said yes. 99% of them said yes, because it's different areas of the brain. Different strong points, different weak points. Is if they're good at like the entrepreneur, starting businesses, hustling, getting sales, and the financial part. It's completely different.
Well, thank you. You know, we're out of time for this segment, but how do people find you?
On LinkedIn, my name, Ahuva Gurin, AHUVALASAMIGRUEN. On my website, agfinancialcpa.com. Or a shortcut for short is ahuvacfo.com.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearheart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearheartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.